Now, if we're going to be effective out there at our front line, we need to be effective inside and in relationship with God, connected, tuned in. And Jesus gave us that Lord's Prayer for a reason. So we're going to explore the prayer in depth today. So what's our experience of the Lord's Prayer? That's a cover sheet there, lovely. You know, if you've been going to church, some long-term Christians in traditional churches might have been going to church two services on a Sunday for 40 years, and they've probably done the Lord's Prayer over 3,500 times. Wow, that's a lot. But there's a risk that you sort of go into automatic drive, and it just ripples through and tick, yes, I know that, you repeat the words, but we do need to engage with what's going on. And I think everybody knows the Lord's Prayer, many in the traditional version, some know a modern version. And there's a shorter version of this prayer in Luke's Gospel, but we're using Matthew's story today. Oh, right. That sounded like a balloon with a leak. So let's set the scene, the Sermon on the Mount. And this was Jesus' first big teaching session. And it took up three whole chapters of Matthew, chapters 5, 6 and 7. And the Lord's Prayer comes in the middle. So a quick summary. After Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, that's Matthew 4, he began to preach. Then he called his first disciples. That's not on the notes today. That's okay. Then he went out healing the sick in the Galilee region. And word spread. You know, when people got ill in those days, it was serious. You know, if you were going blind, there was nothing you could do about it. And big crowds gradually gathered. He was big news. And this is a map of the region. Does that go a little sharper? So this is in the middle. We've got the northern coast of the Lake of Galilee, which traditionally is where Jesus gave this talk. Now, back in those days, like in Maasailand in Kenya, I've been on two short missions out there. In Maasailand, it's mud hut country. No newspapers, no television, no radio. Most of them can't read. So you get little clusters of huts, little tiny villages here and there. And if you travel somewhere, you are news. Everybody wants to know what's going on over there at the next village or in the country or what's happening in the main cities. Because there's no other way of finding out. And that's why crowds would gather. So Matthew tells us people came from maybe 200 miles away, all over Syria, that's the area to the north. And those circles are 50-mile radius, going up to 200 miles. And they're from Jerusalem, from Decapolis, that's the 10 cities east of Galilee. And Galilee from Jerusalem is like walking here from Whitstable in Kent. We have no idea what it's like. Has anyone here ever walked to Cheltenham? Some people over there, one over here, well done. The longest walk I've had was a sponsored walk, 20 miles, and it finished with a long walk up a steep hill. But to them, this was everyday stuff. Paul on his journeys went 3,000 miles on some of them. So word didn't get there instantly by telephone. It would spread gradually over the weeks, maybe months, and people would come back. And here we have him giving the Sermon on the Mount with people from as far away as Jerusalem. That's down here. So they came from a long way. Okay, so a big crowd had gathered, and Jesus went up on a hillside to give this talk that we call the Sermon on the Mount. And he taught on many important issues, starting with the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit and so on. Then he talked about us being salt and light, about how he'd come to fulfill the law, and quite a few other important topics. Then he came to prayer, which begins in chapter 6. So I'll have the reading now on the slides. If I can, that's it. If you need to look it up, it's Matthew 6, 1, 6 to 13. We need a rearview mirror on here, don't we? And, right. So he says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And that's where it stops in the Bible. Okay. So, Jesus tells us this is private prayer time. Go into your room. Oh, right. Now, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, you know, showing off almost in the synagogues or on the streets. They've received their reward. They've had their admiration from the public. They've had their reward. You pray in your private. You go into your room, close the door and pray. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans. It's quality, not quantity. He knows our needs. It matters what we pray. So we don't need to go on for ages. Then we have the Lord's Prayer itself. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I wonder how many of us regularly pray the Lord's Prayer in our own private prayer time. You know, in church, it's useful to have a common set of words so we can all pray it together. But the main intention, Jesus says, is in private prayer between you and Father. Now, how should we pray? Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Now the Greek word translated as how is houtos. It means pray in this manner. Pray thus. Pray like this. It doesn't mean repeat these exact words. Jesus is giving us a pattern, an outline, a template to cover the essentials into which we can put our own words. Interesting. I've learned a lot in preparing for this talk. It's given me a whole way of thinking and praying the prayer using my own words within the outline. So let's just go through the words in that prayer. You know, a prayer is a message. It needs a name and address. So we've got Our Father in heaven. Okay. Our Father. It's Our Father, not My Father. So we're praying on behalf of others too. It stops you getting too self-centered. And each time we pray it, think, you know, who am I praying this on behalf of? We might have family members in a crisis, and you're including them, or friends in another church, or somewhere overseas. Who are we praying on behalf of? Our Father. And it's a family prayer. Jesus often referred to his Father as Abba, which means Dad. It was that close. It's not in an over-familiar, disrespectful way. Respectfully, Dad. And to think, the eternal being who set the stars in their courses is our Dad. How do we think of Father God? You know, a few people struggle with this. Our own earthly dad might not have been perfect. But I know from the healing ministry, some people really struggle with the concept of Father God because of the problems they've had with their own father. For some of us, he may have been emotionally absent or even physically absent. But I've come to realize that Father God is so much more than any earthly dad. He's perfect. He's always there for us. He loves us to bits. And he's always on hand when we need to talk to him. Our Father in heaven. Now it's interesting, the Greek word here is actually in the plural. Our Father in the heavens. Yet when he talks about heaven later on, it goes back to the singular. We have that expression, heavens above, don't we? And it gives a subtly different aspect of our viewpoint. Heaven isn't a single location somewhere up there. It's the heavens, which are like all around, every direction. We'll find out one day. So Our Father in the heavens. Now the traditional King James version, Our Father which art in heaven. The words which art aren't in the Greek. It's just the way they translated it 400 years ago. It's Our Father in the heavens. Then we come to The beginning of the prayer has three petitions focused on God, then three about ourselves. So we're looking to God first. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's an echo of the Trinity in this. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our Father. The word kingdom. Who is the king? It's the Son, Jesus. Your will be done. Now, the aspect of the Holy Spirit here, in one of the earliest manuscripts, it doesn't say thy will be done. It says thy spirit be given. And we can't carry out God's will properly without Holy Spirit being in us, without us receiving Holy Spirit. Then we've got thy name, hallowed be thy name. Let your name be made holy, hallowed, consecrated, honoured, sanctified, set apart from him only, for nothing else. This nation does not hold God as holy. Reverence is so important when we approach God. And the word holy, hagiostitor, the opposite of koinos, which means common, holy, common. You may have heard of Koine Greek, the common Greek, the language used in New Testament times. It's not the same as classical Greek. They're as different as classical English and London Cockney, and some people call it Cockney Greek. It was the language of the time. Now, holy. Back in those days, the Jews would not say the name of God Yahweh. They would say the Lord, Adonai, or just the name. And even today, those of the Jewish faith won't say Yahweh. They'll write it down as sort of YWH, the equivalent of, in case they mispronounce it, get it wrong, defile the holiness of his name. So they talk of the name bless you, when they mean Yahweh, God. And in 1 Chronicles 22, David said to Solomon, my son, I had it in my heart to build a house for the name of the Lord. My God, that's Yahweh. But this word of the Lord came to me. You shed much blood and have fought many wars. You are not to build a house for my name, because you shed much blood on the earth in my sight. So the name of God is not for common use as a cuss word. It is holy. And we have to watch ourselves, because the word can slip out in a moment of frustration. Don't we? Sorry, Lord. So the Lord's Prayer reminds us of this need for reverence. Thy kingdom come. Which kingdom? Jesus is the king. What's the meaning of the word kingdom out here? Well, when we talk about the United Kingdom, it's on the map. It's a territory. It's a defined boundary. But in the Middle East, kingdom means a kingship, a sovereignty, a royal power, a rule, a dominion, an authority. So it's not a geographic area. So your kingdom come is more like let your kingship come. Let your sovereignty come about, your royal power here on earth. On earth as it is in heaven, we come back to the singular for heaven. I don't know why there's a difference there, but it gives an interesting aspect to it. So thy will be done on earth. Will. Now there are two words in Greek for will, and the translators of the word. One means a decree. The other is desires or wishes, and that's the one used here. Your will be done, that which is desired by God, his wishes be done. It's not your decree be done, that sort of fatalism. You might hear about a tragic death or a disaster, and someone will say, oh, that must be the will of God. No, that's fatalism. The Lord's Prayer will talk about his desires, his wishes. Now, we know God doesn't control us like robots. He doesn't make us do things. He gives us free will, yet he makes his desires known through his word, through words of knowledge, but from the Holy Spirit. We can choose to ignore him, and sometimes we struggle to hear him, but it's his desires. And the emphasis, I think, is on done. Let's go out and do it. If we hear his word but don't do anything, nothing happens. And that's the front line part of the Lord's Prayer. Let thy will be done by us, unless we put God's desires into action. And James 2:17 says, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Oh dear. And you've heard of the Great Commission? For some churches, it's the Great Omission. And it's go into all the world. And we know Jesus sent his disciples out. First the 12, then the 72. In twos. More than one. There's a rule about witnesses. A lot of churches put on an event and say, come. But Jesus says, no. Get off your box. Get out there. Go and talk to people. Witness. Be my witnesses. And with the right approach, it's easier than you think. Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, start in your front line, your hometown, your work colleagues, your contacts, and then go out to the regions around you, then across the world. Many churches get that backwards, and their idea of mission is to pay someone else to do it as far away around the world as possible, but not me, Lord. And then we've got the next part of the Lord's Prayer. We have three petitions about our needs. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins in some translations, as we've also forgiven our debtors or those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, note, this is about our needs, not our wants, our whims, our fancies. And it covers needs for past, present and future. And also that echo again of Father, Son and Holy Spirit. For our present, give us today our daily bread. The Father provides our needs. And daily, it's for the time being, so the next 24 hours. Let's work in day-tight compartments. Let's not worry about what will happen in a year's time. We acknowledge our sustenance is a gift from God. For our past sins, we need forgiveness obtained through Jesus, the Son. Lord, forgive us our debts. That's the debts we owe Jesus. He pleaded guilty to the stuff we've done wrong. And he took the punishment. And we need to acknowledge that. Thank you, Lord. I believe in you. Please forgive me. And Father says, on that basis, I forgive you. The slate is wiped clean. Come on in. And then as we forgive those who sin against us, that's the terms and conditions. If we want Father to forgive us, we've got to let go of our own past hurts, those people who upset us. It's a struggle sometimes. And then for our future, protect us from temptation or testing is another translation. Perasmos is the Greek word. It can mean temptation, testing or trials. You know, we talk about trials and tribulations. And we pray not to be put to the test beyond our abilities to withstand them. And it's about future. Things coming up that we don't know about yet. The Holy Spirit led the Lord into temptation. He can lead us out of it. Now, God controls how much we're exposed to the devil. Sometimes he does it to teach us a lesson, to help us to learn something, to teach us we can't do things on our own, but we need to do things his way, with his help and guidance, to hold his hand. And then deliver us from the evil one, that's Satan. It doesn't say deliver us from evil, it's from the evil one. And that is Satan. And that's where we also need to know about the armour of God, but that's another sermon, another time. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Not in the NIV, not in the Bible as we know it. It appears in the original King James, the Authorised Bible, New King James, but out of 55 English translations, that's mind-boggling, isn't it? Only 22 include these words. But it isn't prayer, it's praise. It glorifies God. And they're an echo from King David's prayer in 1 Chronicles 29. After all the tribes and families of Israel gave a share of their wealth, a very generous share of their wealth, for the building of the temple. Now see if you can spot the words kingdom, power and glory. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. To yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, that everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Do you ever use that form of wording for when you do your collection here? I've heard it done, and that's where it comes from. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. So why was this sentence added? You know, 400 years ago, we didn't have the early scripts. But all the time, archaeologists are digging up earlier and earlier Bible scripts. And the Lord's Prayer is given by Jesus, starts with this focus on God, ends up with praying for protection from Satan. And it's thought the early church didn't want it to end with Satan. And they wanted to finish with praise for God. Now, this bit didn't actually get added for about 100 years after Jesus. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. It glorifies God. And that was added then as a sort of wrapper to tidy up the Lord's Prayer. I think it goes nicely. And we normally finish with amen. It's the endorsement of a prayer. It means surely, verily, truly, absolutely, yes. So be it. Let it be. Before God, I agree. I want it to be so. So does this change our prayer life? You know, I've learned the Lord's Prayer since childhood when I was in a church choir. We prayed it at primary school. I went away from the Lord for many years and I came back again. And in praying, in preparing for this talk today, I found I was using the Lord's Prayer much more personally in my private prayer time, more often, understanding it deeper, praying it more deeper. I bring to mind a few words of the Lord's Prayer at a time, then pray around them and beneath them in my own words and make them my own personal prayer. And that's what these handouts are for you to take home and just see what you think of as the meanings behind those words. And you can write your own comments on the right-hand page there. Maybe in pencil, you might want to change it sometime. Just how might you say it in your personal prayer time? Vary it each time. Don't make it a set pattern of words, but your words for the day. Do you see? So, our praying on behalf of those on our minds for prayer. Father, Dad, in the heavens, all around us, in every direction. Hallowed, may everyone respect your name. Your kingdom, your sovereignty come. Your will, your wishes, your desires be done on earth by us. Help us to engage, Lord. Get out there and do it. Give us this coming day all we need for sustenance, warmth, food, shelter, spiritual feeding, love. We all need these. Forgive us our sins, those sins of omission, the things we should have done but didn't quite get round to, as well as those we've done wrong. Name them in our hearts. Say you're sorry. Give them to the Lord. Slate wipe clean. Start afresh. Let's make it really personal. And that prepares us for our front line. Remember, it's may God's will be done by us. And we need to be prayed up before mission. Now, C.S. Lewis said, I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me. How blessed to be in that place with God. What are the Lord's wishes in our front line? It's about reaching out to the unchurched and making disciples. Evangelism is trying to rescue someone from a fate worse than death. I'll say that again. Evangelism is trying to rescue someone from a fate worse than death. Jesus asked his followers to go out to witness. Now, we're not all called to evangelize, but we are called to bear witness. To make disciples. In the Great Commission, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, because of that, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And that's the command that continues, a pattern of, if you like, recruitment, training, down the ages. And that word disciple, we borrow it direct from Latin, discipulus. But what does that actually mean if we borrow a word from Latin? We go back to the Greek mathetes, the root of that is to learn. We're making learners. And if you think about apprentices, you've got a craftsman, he takes on apprentices who learn his trade so they can become craftsmen and they can teach others. Do you see the similarity? Apprentices. So, amen. Jesus was right. Please ponder on it. Try praying the Lord's Prayer in a new way. And ask God to guide us in what we do for mission on our front line. And perhaps wider, for his kingdom on earth. I hope this is helpful. Let's just finish with a prayer. Father God, you are mighty. You cast stars into space across countless trillions of miles, and yet you care for each one of us. And you know us personally, individually, better than we know ourselves. Please take the words I've spoken and turn them to your use for each person here today and bring real inner meaning. If there are any words you don't wish someone to take on board, then please wash them away for now. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Amen.